It is 93.3 WMMR, Pierre Robert, and we are here with Gethin and with Jed and with Adam and with Luke, better known as the Struts. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello again.
It's great to have you. I was walking in and I glanced to my right near one of the many tour buses backstage, and there is a portable chair, and out bathing in the sun is your bass player, looking very comfortable. The only thing missing was a cup of proper British tea, which yeah, I was prepared to deliver, but I didn't.
In the sunshine, we British people with Pimm's and lemonade.
Yeah, well, because you don't get, I said to him, well, you have some sun here. You don't get as much sun.
No.
In fact, you're all pale.
Yeah.
I say that with love, too, by the way. It's great to have you back. Is it true you went to Lollapalooza in Brazil?
We did.
What was that like?
Absolutely incredible. Not only was it our first show in Brazil, it was an absolute baptism of fire.
How so?
Well, the heat for one.
Wow.
And it was just great. The reaction that we got, none of us were prepared for that. It was, we had a great slot. What time did we go on?
A lovely sort of 4 p.m.-ish.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was enough for a lot of people to sort of like get there and turn up. For me, it was quite a shock to the system because the stage was so big.
Oh, right.
Right?
And you didn't... You're the kind of guy that likes to stand still. You don't like to move around very much. So I could understand how, you know, it was more space than you really wanted.
It was a shock to the system considering that there'd been a lot of traveling and physically I probably wasn't on form. And then I came out and I was running from side to side and with the heat as well, the sun was blaring down. I was just like, oh my God, how am I? I'm looking down at the set. It's like, oh, we've got another 8 songs to go. So I'm just like, woo, let's do this. But it was great. The Brazilian fans, my God, it was the first time we'd ever had young girls on the front row crying their eyes out.
Wow.
We were that bad.
Yeah.
I think that that's not the case. In fact, did Elton John, does he have some kind of Apple Beats channel? Wasn't he taking Prima Donna and spinning it?
Yeah, he's got his own radio show with Beats. And he played Prima Donna. It was great. Wow. Which is a very surreal moment because this song, from my standpoint, was heavily inspired by Elton John. It's kind of like our homage to the Bitches Back, like lyrically, and Elton's attitude, like especially through the hazy 70s and everything that kind of went along with that. It was so, to see the song go full circle and him acknowledge it and then further on sort of say like it was based on my stage persona, and he was like, well, I can relate to that. I'm like, it was a very surreal moment, but amazing at the same time.
The thing I liked, I love that song. I'm crazy about it. I think Camera is a single but at the moment, but Prima Donna is my favorite song on the record. And the opening where you sing, hey you, don't you know who I think I am?
Yeah.
It's so tongue-in-cheek, you know, because if you're going to achieve the rock star thing or even aim for it, I think the trick is to not take yourself too seriously.
That's exactly that. I think there's been a lot of discussions with, a lot of groups, especially now, like embodying flavors of the past. And I think the key thing and what we do and what we've always been very conscious of and felt natural to do it is not stand there and put ourselves on a pedestal and say, this is original. You know, everything that we're doing is like from our own mind and whatnot. You know, we are heavily influenced by a lot of groups, and we've always wanted to push our music forward. But
Frank Sinatra, exactly. Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr.
But like you said, you know, you've got to sort of like give it a little bit of humor because, you know, when you're doing the music that we're doing, wearing what we're wearing, I mean, you can't take it too seriously.
Well, the costumes obviously are important, but I think it was it Adam and no, I think it was Gethin when you and Jed joined the band. I think, didn't Luke loan you money to go buy clothing?
Yeah, he took us shopping in Nottingham. He was like, here's £40 each.
It was more than that. It was like £100 each.
Was it?
Yeah, I was like, We were very low on supplies.
Clearly, in your view, they were not living up to what you were trying to achieve with the look of this band.
Well, in all honesty, that the band had no money to spend on clothes.
And they just joined as well.
They just joined, and it was like, and we must have had a show coming up very soon. It was like, look, we got to sort this out. So
we had we had five different like stage ideas. So like, we'd wake up the morning of the gig, and Luke would be like, right, it's hippie theme today. So we'd like go to our little section in our closet, and
we had like a mod outfit, a hippie one, like a.
Do you either Jed or Gethin remember those first outfits that you bought?
I remember that jacket that you bought.
Jed still wears that jacket.
4 years. Yeah,
I think I got retired last year.
And even the guy that designs our stage outfits now, that was based off that first jacket from about 7 years ago. I said, wow. I love this one so much.
That's great. Yeah, so I was reading about designers. There was a lady who designed for, I think her name's Zandra Rhodes, who worked with Freddie. And then there's a gentleman named Ray Brown,
yes,
who's working with you guys now. Tell us about him and what he's bringing to the mix.
He's been working with us pretty much since we came over to the U.S. So we first, Gethin met him via Twitter, and that's where the relationship started. But it wasn't until we opened up for Motley Crue for their last four shows where we were like, look, you know, this is a really big deal. We kind of really need to push the boat. And we got our first four sort of like full-on suits head to toe.
Were they matching?
Yeah, no. It was kind of goldish themed, I remember.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was black
gold trousers.
Leather, black shiny leather with, you know, gold trimmings and everything. And that was the first thing. And we've been working with him now ever since, you know, and it's great. And now the cool thing is we had a bunch of suits made with different color coordinations. So we, you know, Monday is black and white night, Tuesday will be red and black, and Wednesday we have black and gold, and we're about to get silver and baby blue.
Sweet. What will we be seeing you early this evening, late this afternoon wearing?
Today is red and black.
Red and black.
Yeah.
Do you like that, Adam?
It's actually my least favorite of the three. But it's cool, nonetheless.
I want to ask the three of you. There's a great picture of Luke in Rolling Stone. I think it was in the end of last year, sitting on a Rolls Royce, a very wicked-looking Rolls Royce, in a very wicked-looking outfit. And it made me think of musicians who, you know, or movie stars for that matter, who make a lot of money and get the car of their dreams. So I'd ask each of you, Gethin, Jed, and Adam, what would be the car of your dreams? Start with Adam.
Mine would be Aston Martin, the Goldfinger one. Is it the DB5?
Yeah,
I think that's...
Clutch? Stick shift? Can you drive a stick shift?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in England, that's what mainly...
Okay.
We don't really have... Well, actually, I have an automatic in England, but most people drive with a stick. But yeah, one of them would be pretty sweet.
Cool.
But one day.
With the machine guns in it?
Yeah, definitely.
And the ejector seat.
Yeah, exactly. Just under the stick.
Jed, what about you?
Mine would probably be a nice humble Jeep.
Jeep, okay.
Yeah, nice black Jeep.
That's pretty simple, okay. Gethin?
I'd get a convertible Mercedes from the 60s. What was it, SL900 or something?
It's
I can't remember.
It's the Coupe 300 SLS, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It'll, you know, cruise around Italy, drinking it. Well, glass of wine in my hand.
I know you're not going to ask me, but...
What? No, I was going to get to you, but curious.
Mine is the...
I'm thinking something very modest, like a four-door Ford or, you know, something very proper and not too...
Practical, you know.
Yeah, practical. That's what I think of.
Prius.
I think of
my family car.
Ever since I was young, I've always wanted...
A minivan.
A minivan, maybe. Or a caravan. Who needs a car? I would like the 50s Mercedes Gullwing.
Oh, sweet.
In silver with the original Gullwing doors. Very practical.
Very practical.
Especially for the girlfriend, you know, trying to get out in a dress.
You know, and parking.
They're great in the snow, too. 93.3 WMMR backstage at the MMRBQ. We have the pleasure of the company of the Struts. The album is doing very well. Several singles from it. Do each of you have a favorite song on the record?
Yeah, I think we do. Do we?
Mine would be Tatler Magazine. because it's completely, well, it's just bonkers, and I like to. It takes me somewhere in my mind and imagination every time I hear it, and I think sonically it sounds brilliant as well.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Prima Donna Like Me as well. And the more I think about it, the more it should have been a single, but never mind.
We're playing it very heavily.
Oh, really?
We're playing Canberra and Prima Donna, both very heavily.
See? Well, it is here then. Amazing. That one and Ashes, I think.
Jed?
Somebody New or Fire, I think, for me.
Cool. And Gethin?
I'd say Ashes is so ambitious. It's like a, and live, it's so powerful as well. Like, I feel most people get emotionally connected with that song. So.
Well, you say that, but I literally had a nightmare last night, and I didn't say this to anyone, where everything just fell apart. It was like Geffen just slowed down, was wondering, the song stopped. Everyone was like cheering. For some weird reason, we had a backing track for it, which we don't, but yet it was playing, and nothing else was playing, and I was like, just dying.
Lucky we're not playing it tonight.
So. No, yeah.
DJs have dreams of the record ending and you're out of the radio studio and you're trying to run to get to the studio and you can't quite get there. A couple more things before I let you go. One is, while everybody borrows from different things and grows on different things, I mean, you guys, to me, still are this wonderful original outfit with what you've done. But given that, I'm wondering if you think this same entity, the Struts, could have come up in the punk rock, you know, 70s with the Ramones and Sex Pistols, or, you know, in the grunge 90s with Nirvana and Soundgarden and that sort of a sound. Do you think if you had started then that this group would work?
You know what? I think it would. I mean, if we consider today, let's say that the group is quote working, I think it would be just as hard as a challenge if you were up against punk rock, whether it's in the UK or the New York punk rock scene, you know, compared to what's happening now. I mean, in terms of rock music, there isn't a lot going on. So what's the thing that it's competing with? That's top 40, that's, you know, rap, R&B, you know. I mean, Drake's won like 27 Billboard awards now. You know, I mean, that's like insane. It's great for him. But I think as long as you write and create great music and it's played with passion, there's always going to be an audience somewhere for it. How big that is, I don't know.
I think the competition back then as well, with bands essentially as well, because I think there's, like you said, top 40 is more like pop, R&B, hip-hop music. I don't feel like there's as many bands as there probably was back then. Maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like there's definitely more competitiveness.
Because some of the traditional bands in the 70s were starting to be classified as old.
Yes.
You know, even, you know, the Stones or all these really cool bands, because punk is the current thing. And then you get to the 90s and the grunge thing, and it's like, well, this is the only thing that's happening. Mm. It's all great music.
Well, but let's be honest, you know, in the UK, in terms of the Struts' career, by the time punk rock had emerged and died out again, we probably would have released one album. So, you know, in a space of 5 years, we probably would have still carried on, you know.
The album release process is fascinating, and the records just sound so great. How much of it do you play in concert?
Well, now, the run that we're on at the moment is a very short run in Struts, sort of like
terms. Near a month.
So it's only a month, you know, which is a baby tour. And what we've been doing is we've been conjuring up ideas for the set. We've been adding in new things. We've added I Do It So Well from the album. Cool. We've seen how that's going down. And we're just trying to figure out how to make the perfect set moving on, going into our big summer tour, which is going to be a mammoth tour. And then it goes into Japan, Australia, back to the UK, Europe, you know, so we're trying to add as much as we can, but you're always left with the predicament of what's best for the show, because we've done things in the past where we're like, I think this is going to sound really good, and then you play it like 3 or 4 nights and you're just like,
can you read the audience?
You
right
can
away?
Read the audience. It's like, It's like Freak Like You, for example.
I love that song.
It's great. And it needs to be done in the right circumstances. And we, you know, we've been trying it out. We've been adding bits in and everything like that. And it's just not quite connecting as well as Bulletproof. Mm. For reasons we have no idea. Yeah. So you kind of got to, like, put your own feelings aside and, like, okay, you know, I know that the guys, you know, for a fact, would prefer to play Freak over Bulletproof because Bulletproof is extremely boring to play. But the reaction it gets from the audience is you know, you can't compromise that, you know. So you kind of build up the set with reaction.
One last question. You played a couple of nights for us in October and November at the TLA down on South Street. Had great shows, sold out.
Amazing packed. Shows.
So much fun. Every time I see you, whether it's at the racetrack in Delaware a couple of years ago, uh-huh. where it was hot as it's going to be for you this afternoon, not Woo. Quite as hot. You always, every one of you, just put out and nail it. But you have a funny line, Luke, that you used in those fall shows where you said, you know, do you like my outfits? That's good, you know, because we'd like to have a whole lot more production, but we simply can't afford it because what we do have goes to my outfits and the band's outfits. So I'm wondering if, you know, the band hits a gigantic level and you have super fame and, you know, rolling in dough and you have all those cars that you wanted, what would be the production or one or two pieces of the production you'd like to have? Dancing girls?
I don't know about dancing girls. I think we would always like to, I mean, I can't even say the word tasteful with the Struts because I'm not even sure if that exists. It would be right for the show. I think we would have enough production which would enhance the music. We're not the kind of band that, I don't think so, that we're not that group like that has such a huge visual production like the 1975, for instance. You know, when you see that band, it is... There's so much for the audience to look at, but I wouldn't want the attention to be taking away so much from the group because we are such good performers, and that's where the energy comes from. Is, you know, when you look at Geff and he's smashing up the kit and I'm running up and down, you know, what's the point in running around and stuff when there'd be a giant, huge video screen of me naked in a bath, like, you know, miming to the song, you know, or something like that.
Well, there a lot of people would like to see you all naked.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we can't thank you enough. Every time we see you, it's a treat. And so, Gethin and Jed and Adam and Luke, these are the Struts, and you're here for the 2019 MMRBQ. Thank you so much for
thanks
being here.
Thanks for having us back.
Thank you.
It's a great friendship. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Love ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.